Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett. It's time.
Hello again, friends, and welcome inside, at least for me, the Riverland Roofing Studios, riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297. It's Riverland Roofing, the little house up top for all your roofing needs. They power everything we do here on Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett, at Spirit Ben on Twitter, X, and I also write and cover your Ole Miss Rebels all day, every day at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, and put it on 30. If you sign up today, you can get your first week for $1, just $1, and you get all Ole Miss coverage all the time. This is all we do. We talk about your Ole Miss Rebels. Zach does it too, at Zach_Berry on X and at the Ole Miss Spirit. He's hanging out all day, every day too. Zachary, how you doing?
Good morning. How are we doing? We are ready for some basketball. Time to bounce back after a pretty brutal stretch.
Yeah.
But look, it's early. And as we talked about last week, the good news is pretty much every game the rest of the way is quad one. So you got a lot of opportunities to kind of help the committee forget about what happened last week. So all is not lost.
No, the SEC is currently projecting to be a 13 bid conference, according to Bracket Matrix, which is insane. That's more than 80% of the conference. 2-1 seeds, 2-2s, 1-3, 2-4s. Ole Miss is one in that 13, but they obviously are sliding right now because they've lost three straight since the first ever top five road win in program history. And I don't want to say we are Ole Miss stuff. I'm not going to say that. I'm not saying it's a we are Ole Miss result, but it is.
That's a product of how good the conference
is now. Yes, but also – man, to win that game and lose three straight is a very old-school Ole Miss thing, but this team is not old-school Ole Miss, in my opinion. Yeah. It's just the strength of the league. That's what I was getting to. I was just wanting to make a little joke to start at the top because we got a lot of football to talk today. So
You could just as easily make a We Are Texas Tech joke because the Red Raiders team that went to that national championship also had a 3-game losing streak. Not saying Ole Miss is going to the national championship, which, by the way, I don't know if you saw, Jay Billis of ESPN. He was on a friend of the program, Cole Kubelik's show. Mm. He said he thinks the SEC tournament this year will be harder than winning the national championship.
I don't disagree. I really don't disagree. It doesn't matter. Imagine, like, the old days of the Wednesday night 14, 15, whatever, 16 games. Even those games, there's going to be somebody playing those teams that has gotten or will get somebody before the season's over with because the SEC's so strong top to bottom, 1 through 16. So, yeah, it's a time for Ole Miss to bounce back. They need to bounce back. And at home on Tuesday or Wednesday is the perfect opportunity. You're back home. Get Dre Davis back, hopefully healthy, and Matt Morrell, he's still not looking quite himself. Maybe he's a little bit closer to full health as well, but that's a good note. That's a good Talk of Champions note. Hang your hat on. Hope Pill is in that year two, because look across the board in history of Chris Beard at all of the other schools. Year two has always been a step up, and it's been the step up for Ole Miss this year, but Ole Miss fans are not used to this type of strength of the SEC, and also – you know, everybody's going to suffer their losses, but can you get back off the schneid, reverse it, go in the other direction? And that's the most important thing. Then you can really start to talk about year two at Texas Tech and that team. Zachary. I think right now, just get you one, because you were 4-0 in the SEC. Now you're 4-3. Get to 5-3 in the SEC. I think 9-9 is easily getting you in. I mean, if you can get to 9 wins in the league, heck, 7 might get you in the league this year, or get you in the tournament this year. Who knows?
Yeah, I was going to say you got to get at least 4 or 5 more, and that should be enough because, like I said, they're all going to be quad one wins. So, and I think Ole Miss is, at this moment, comfortably in, as Joe Lunardi likes to say. I haven't looked at any bracketology this week, but I assume Ole Miss is probably still around the 5-6 seed line. Because after that brutal stretch of three straight losses, look, the Alabama and the Louisville wins are still helping you because you're still ranked. The resume is still, you know, pretty robust. So it sucks to lose, especially like Missouri was just kind of a bad night. Like it was just an off night.
That was a bad game. That was a bad game.
Nobody's hitting shots. Missouri was hitting shots. It was on the road, whatever. The A&M one's going to be one that really, really keeps Chris Beard up at night. That one's the huge bummer at home, giant crowd. I mean, that one's going to hurt. But again, it's fine. Like, you don't want to lose, obviously, but it's college basketball. You can't have the football mentality.
No, get the next one and the next one and the next one. Stack those wins. Go back the other way, and it could snowball in a different way. But you got to get that one. So Ole Miss on Wednesday night hosting Texas, right?
Yep.
Texas. Is it – what time is it? Is it 6, 7, or 8? I think it might be 8 again.
8 o'clock.
Oh, 8 o'clock. But still, Ole Miss and Texas in the SJB Pavilion. Go check them out. They deserve your support. And, so, man, that crowd for Texas A&M was memorable, man. That was insane.
I looked it up on USA Today. Ole Miss is on the 6th seed line right now.
Yeah.
In Wichita, going up against VCU in the West region. That's the Alabama region.
Okay.
Alabama's the 1, Michigan State's the 2 in that region. So, not terrible.
No.
6 seed, great.
Yeah.
Whatever. Look,
I'm trying not to focus on the bracketology and just the go 1-0 every day, you know, because Ole Miss just needs to turn around the 3-game losing streak, and that's what Chris Beard thinks. It's about an 18-round SEC fight. They're in round 8 now when Texas rolls into town. And here in the middle round.
As a 6.
Say that again?
Joe Lunardi, he's got him as a 6 in the Midwest. So, yeah. Fine.
But you were up to a 4.
Yeah.
So that shows slippage, and you got to stop the bleeding, so to speak. And it's just not going to – there are no cupcakes the rest of the way. That's the thing. There's no, like, guaranteed wins the rest of the way. The SEC is just that difficult. So, yeah, the Texas A&M one is going to be the one that really sticks in their craw for a little bit, unless they can go and beat Texas tonight, and then all is well. You're just right back where you were again. So, Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Central Time at the Pavilion, Ole Miss and Texas. See if they can get back off the schneid. As far as football is concerned, Lane Kiffin and company are on the road. Lane came to your boy's hometown, where I currently live, New Albany, Mississippi, and went and saw Emmanuel Tucker. They had New Albany did. They practiced last night. He's on the basketball team. He's not a starter. That's a good basketball team New Albany's got. If you ever want to go see some good basketball.
Aren't they always pretty good?
Historically, New Albany has been good in basketball.
Okay.
But – No, it's not a consistent every year thing. This year they've got a fun team. Yes, it's not.
I feel like recently they were really good, or maybe I'm thinking of like a long time ago. I don't know. I haven't
been paying a lot of attention to the alma mater's athletics programs until like these last couple of years, and it's really cool to see because not only basketball wise do they have a good team. But the football team is producing some high-level athletes, including Emmanuel Tucker, a defensive end edge, but also projected right tackle, left tackle. From being here in New Albany, watching the kid, seeing the kid, he looks to me like Lafayette should have done to Jeremy Liggins his junior or senior year. Put him at left tackle, right tackle. He'd have been a millionaire if he'd have been an offensive lineman, but – those athletic traits, they're similar. He's not the athletic freak of Jeremy Liggins, I will say that. But Emmanuel Tucker, Lane Kiffin showing up at his practice, and then later on they had their award ceremony or whatever for athletics. I think it was their fall award ceremony. It shows how much they do want him, and he is a project. He is not a finished thing, but it is pretty cool, man, because like when you think of New Albany, Mississippi, it used to be a big, big thing when Ole Miss had New Albany had a recruitable athlete and coaches would show up. And I'll never forget when Jay Kirkland was getting recruited, signed with Ole Miss over LSU, and Nick Saban showed up at, you know, the cabin that's right down the road over here, right? Or Eli Anding signing with David Cutcliffe, or no, Tommy Tuberville, and then playing for Tuberville and David Cutcliffe, quarterback converted to a fullback. It's pretty cool to see the hometown, and you know, both my worlds colliding a little bit last night with Lane coming over. I went over there to go say, hey, we didn't know he was in town. We really didn't know he was in town, which is an indictment on me.
Go over there and ask him about Ulysses Bentley again.
No, I was going to go over there, and because Gracie had practice right after Emmanuel Tucker. Okay, then, you know, right. He's a sixth grade. And so I went ahead and went over there, and they were all gone and had dissipated and everything. The funny thing, though, is all the New Albany people, including a lot of the kids of my friends, running up and showing me their pictures of Lane Kiffin. And every one of them said, yeah, he showed up for the girls' practice. He showed up late. He didn't make it to Emmanuel's practice. But showing up in
still,
New Albany.
Still saw him. Still talked to him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's really cool that Lane came over here and, you know, got to see my hometown embrace. And the Ole Miss fans of my hometown go crazy because Lane walked into the old middle school gymnasium. So that's just a really cool little story that happened here locally, and it was fun. And people got really excited. And I think Emmanuel Tucker's a good player, man. I think he could really be something for whoever signs him, and everybody's offered him already. So,
kind of tongue in cheek here, cause it's been like this for a couple of years now. When Lane first arrived, he was in Boca a lot, but all the people that wanted Lane Kiffin to recruit and wanted him to get out there and be like every other coach, he's doing it now. I mean, he is everywhere. He has been all over the place. Ben's talked about it on the site. I've talked about it. Billy has talked about it. I mean, Kiffin's everywhere. He's going into high schools. He's going to homes. He's going to practices. He's going to basketball games. He is doing what you wanted him to do now. So, all he cares about is the portal, and like he's just one foot out the door to go to the NFL or go to this school or this job. No, like he's embedded now. Like he is all about Ole Miss, and he is recruiting high school kids, and he's going after some big time players now.
Yeah, and Emmanuel Tucker is one of them. He's been on the road, has Lane Kiffin and all the staff for the last couple of weeks. What do you think are the biggest developments so far as who they've seen and progress made as they very early on, but the work is being done right now, especially with the offseason working strength and conditioning program with football. They're just working out. So what do you think are the early takeaways as far as their road travails and what we've learned about targets and movement, stuff like that, as they try to build this thing out? Because it's very, very early in this class, you know, and you're not, you know.
That was a very Laszlo Cravensworth pronunciation of travels. I liked it.
Travails.
Look, I mean, honestly, if you want, you can just go to the site and hit the football recruiting tab. And we got all the articles right there. But some of the big things that jump out to me is the emphasis on quarterback early on. And I've done a couple pieces on the flip targets, the ones that are uncommitted, kind of the early names to know. And I think the big ones right now at quarterbacks, I know that's the primary position. It's quarterback league. It's a quarterback game. You got to have a guy. Ole Miss didn't sign a high school guy in 2025. They opted to stick with the portal. They got Pierce Clarkson, and you got AJ Maddox and Austin Simmons, who both guys, the staff loves both of them. It's going to be a good battle in the spring. But looking at, you know, let's start with the uncommitted guys first. I think the name to know first and foremost is Landon Duckworth. He's from Jackson, Alabama. Was committed to South Carolina early on, decommitted, reopened his recruitment. Starting to get a lot of big time offers. Georgia's offered him, but Ole Miss is going after him really hard. They like his ability to extend plays with his legs. And the big thing, talking with a bunch of Ole Miss people and just like scouts and other coaches in general that watch Ole Miss and like seem like guys at the Senior Bowl and Shrine game and all that, they talk a lot about Kiffin and Charlie Weiss Jr. They like a guy who the term they use is plus one in the run game. So a guy that can run the football. You know, Jackson Dart could do that. Matt Corral was like that. They want a guy who is a threat to run the football. You know, they don't really want a statue back there. They want someone that's mobile. Duckworth can do that. He ran for almost 700 yards and 12 touchdowns as a junior. Big kid, 6'3", 190. So they like that about his game. And I think that Ole Miss has made him a priority early on. And then looking at the guys, the guys are trying to flip. I would say a couple of the ones you need to know about. Keyshawn Henderson is committed to Houston. The dude's just blown up on the recruiting trail. Was MVP at the Navy All-American Bowl. And Georgia's offered him as well. And Ole Miss went and saw him at school. And we know about the ties that this staff has to the state of Texas. You know, Randall Joyner's from Texas. You got Alex Brown from Texas. They have a lot of well-respected recruiters that go to the Lone Star State. And, you know, Willie Pritz has done a hell of a job early on and right now keeping Keyshawn Henderson and making him feel like a priority in the future of that program. But Ole Miss is going to make it hard. Another one, kind of a new one here, Ben, Jonas Williams. It's from Lincoln Way East. It's kind of a Chicagoland area suburb. Really good high school program in Illinois. He's been committed to Oregon since last summer. I talked to a couple people. They said that they think he might reopen his recruitment and just kind of take a step back and welcome all comers with offers. Georgia offered him yesterday. Ole Miss went to see him last week. They like his game as well. Another guy that's plus one in the run game, 200-pound guy. You put on the tape. You don't have to be a ball knower to see that he can play. Tons of arm talent, can really run. And then a couple other flip targets at quarterback. Helaman Kasuga plays at Corner Canyon. You know about Corner Canyon if you're an Ole Miss fan. If you keep up with Ole Miss recruiting, that's where Jackson Dart went to school. I mean, that's pretty much like the quarterback high school. You know, we have like QBU or wide receiver U. Like Corner Canyon's like QBHS right now. Like they churn out quarterbacks left and right. Eric Jar, the head coach at Corner Canyon, it's pretty much plug and play at this point. Whoever they have at quarterback is putting up numbers. Kasuga committed to A&M last year, but Ole Miss is after him as well. Speaking of Corner Canyon, Ole Miss offered Diesel Dart.
Jackson, I was waiting for it, man.
Yeah, 2027 guy. But look, this isn't like a, you know, all in the family offer here. Kick and play.
Time out.
Go ahead.
I want to ask you some questions about Diesel Dart. Number one, tell me, like, there are certain guys who have a name that tells you they're going to be good football players. All right. Diesel Dart. That is an all name going to be a good quarterback type of, I mean, certain names are just
kind of have no choice, right? You can't you can't be like a grandmaster in chess if your name's Diesel.
Exactly. Just like the Brewers signed the youngest top 100 prospect in Major League Baseball in the international bonus pool window. His name is Jesus Made. Made ain't failing. You feel me? Like, so Diesel Dart. Like, if you wanted to buy stock.
Is it pronounced Jesus or Jesus?
I don't know.
I think either one's cool, but
either one is cool because it looks like it's Jesus Made. So point is the all name teams, there is something to this. If they got a dope name, you can pretty much take it to the bank, right? Like Storm Duck, you knew Storm Duck was gonna be good. Diesel Dart. So yes, I wanted to go ahead and talk about Jackson's little brother getting off from Ole Miss. But it's more than that and more than his name, which is a really cool name. I mean, Diesel Dart sounds like he should be starring in, you know, Escape from, you know, Little China or something. You know, this guy sounds like he should be, or Escape from New York. You know, he should be out there as an action hero. But he's more than just his name. He's more than just his little brother. Diesel Dart is ranked very highly, considered one of the better quarterback prospects for 2027, correct?
So he plays wide receiver and safety.
So
plays both ways. Yeah, I know there was like some people out there were saying linebackers. People were saying quarterback. He plays safety and he plays wide receiver.
Even better.
I think he's being recruited as a wide receiver. Now he can play. He can play defense. I put up some highlights on the board yesterday. He was flying all over the field when Corner Canyon played IMG. So he's playing some good competition. And Utah has quietly become a really good high school football state. They've got tons of talent there. They play high level football. But yeah, this wasn't like a, well, you're Jackson's brother, we'll give you an offer. Like, no, he can play. Mm-hmm. So still growing, obviously.
They look the same, by the way.
I haven't had anyone ask me like, is that Jackson's brother? Like, yes, dude. Like they look identical. You know, Brandon's big dude. He played safety in college. Jackson obviously is a hoss. I don't think Diesel's done growing. He's already about 6'1", 6'2". He's probably around 175, 180. But yeah, can play both ways. Ole Miss, I believe, is recruiting him as a wide receiver. So,
but not a wide receiver that, you know, brings his lunch pail, right? That always – this isn't that kind. Like sneaky athleticism.
Yeah, we don't have to do all that. We don't have to do all that.
Okay, he's legitimate, right? I'm just saying.
No, yeah, like he can play. Just look at the tape. I mean, he's still young, so he's got plenty of time to grow and get better. But yeah, he starts for Corner Canyon, who is a nationally ranked team that beat IMG Academy. So he's no bum. But going back to Kasuga, the quarterback there, stud, threw for over 4,000 yards and 34 touchdowns as a sophomore. And then he was at Tempview in Utah, transferred over to Corner Canyon. He got hurt last year, but he still threw for over 1,600 yards and 18 touchdowns in just 6 games. So that's one to keep an eye on. So they're gonna go after the guys that are committed elsewhere because it's early. Jake Fetty's another one. He's from El Paso, out in Del Valle High School. He's committed to Arizona State. Kenny Dillingham. They're trying to capitalize on this momentum they got. They make the college football playoff. They win the Big 12. But Ole Miss is going after him. I had a couple people tell me they think that he has a quote freaky game. Just does a lot of cool stuff. Basically, another plus one guy in the run game can pick up first downs with his legs. Both Cody Belair and Charles Power love his game. They have him listed as the number 5 quarterback prospect in the class and the number 55 overall guy. And then lastly at quarterback, the big one, Jared Curtis, 5-star, number 4 player in the class. I know he did the top 6. Ole Miss was not included. It's our job, Ben. We can only report, you know, what we're told. We can listen to what other guys report. You know, our national guys are Chad Simmons and our Steve Wiltfongs. Those guys talk to him as well. But when I have personally talked to Jared, he talks about Lane Kiffin. He talks about Ole Miss. So not in the top 6, but, you know, at this point, the top 6s, the top 11s, that doesn't really matter. It's what you do on signing day. Ole Miss is going to continue to recruit him. They went to see him right after he decommitted from Georgia. They're on his mind. So they may not have made the graphic that Hayes Fawcett made, but Ole Miss is going to continue to go after him. Elsewhere outside of quarterback, Ben, I think the heavy hitters in terms of position has been the offensive line and the defensive line and wide receiver. Those are kind of the big 3 to me. I think you're going to see a big emphasis on offensive line. I think they're going to try to build more at the high school level at the offensive line. We saw a big emphasis late in the 25 cycle. They flip Devin Harper. They flip Connor Howes. And I think you're going to continue to see that. You know, they got a couple 3-stars that, you know, might be labeled as projects, but they're big, big people. I mean, they are huge. So it's a lot of stuff you can't teach. They're going to try to mold them into some interior offensive linemen that can play at the SEC level. And then defensive line, you know, you've got the, you know, kind of the heavy hitters. You've got Deuce Gerolds, son of Davron Gerolds, Ole Miss legacy. Ole Miss is in a good spot there. Speaking of top schools list, it don't really mean anything. Jarelyn McCoy did the top schools list. Ole Miss wasn't included. He commits to LSU, and then he's right back in Oxford. So he's right down the road in Tupelo, so he's always going to be around. Ole Miss is still going after him hard. The one that I'm keeping an eye on closely, Ben, is Danny Beal. I did a piece on him. I think Ole Miss is surging there. I don't want to say commitment watch or anything, but he's just up the road in Wynn, Arkansas. It's just 2.5 hours from Oxford. He's been to campus already plenty of times. He came to some games last year. He's been on campus in the summer. He was in Oxford in early January, and then Ole Miss sent basically the kitchen sink at him at his high school. You had Jake Schoonover, Lane Kiffin, Randall Joyner, and Pete Golding all went to see him. That's all you need to know right there, guys. I mean, if you're sending that many coaches, that's an important prospect, right? You know, it's one thing if Kiffin's going, that means a lot. But if you're sending Pete Golding, Randall Joyner, and then Schoonover's the area recruiter, that's something you need to keep an eye on. So that's kind of my take on it is defensive line, offensive line, and then wide receiver. They're going after a lot of secondary guys too, but I think those are kind of it right now because you're kind of seeing, you know, they hit big in the portal at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. I really like what they did in the portal. I think they got some really good pieces, but there's going to be a little bit of turnover there, right? Where you're going to, you know, these portal guys are going to leave. You got to get some high school dudes in there because, look, you lost Aiden Williams. Right now, as of today, as we record this on Tuesday, January 28th, Narrell White's still in the portal. He could come back.
I haven't heard much on Narrell. That's kind of crazy.
Could come back. You know, there's always I haven't heard anything about Ole Miss not welcoming him back.
Same thing with Jaden Kennedy. I've heard some rumblings that Jaden Kennedy might be coming back. So those are things we're working on, obviously. So, all this stuff is so volatile, and sometimes it's hard to separate what's real and what's not. So, you know, I don't want to – but there are rumblings out there. I just wanted to put that up.
Ole Miss sure. But, yeah, right now, like Ben said, it's early. But, yeah, I mean, Ole Miss is not – shine away from these big time battles with these blue blood programs. They're going to go hard. Look, the season didn't go the way everybody wanted it to, but recruits still recognize what Ole Miss has done. Third mm-hmm. most wins in the SEC in the last, what, like 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. So you're right there with the blue bloods. You know, Kiffin got the new contract, you know, for the first couple of years, Ben, you know, I'm sure there was some negative recruiting. We're like, you can't go to Ole Miss. Kiffin's not going to be there. Like he's got 1 foot out the door. Like, no, he's there now. Like he's embedded. You got, you know, his kids are there now. Who knows? Layla Kiffin's apparently, you know, living in Oxford. I don't know if it's permanent or temporary or, you know, she's going to be there regardless to see her kids. But, you know, Kiffin has put down some roots. I think that you can't do that negative recruiting anymore with like, well, Kiffin's going to, you know, he's going to bolt for the Giants job or, you know, the Jets or whatever. Like he's at Ole Miss. So, and I think you see that with him being out on the road. So, again, early junior day this weekend, Billy and I will have full coverage of that. There's going to be some big time dudes in town. We'll get you, you know, we may not get you the full list, but we will get you the list of guys that you need to know. Like, well, the dudes that you need to know about, we'll get them to you.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
This is Cali. With CSpire's blazing fast nationwide 5G network, she's got her fans in the palm of her hands. Live streaming her Mississippi Blues from her phone wherever she is. To out there, wherever they are. Right now, get the latest 5G phone on us. Only at CSpire, customer inspired.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Every single day around the dinner table here at Ben Garrett's house, we do a high-low buffalo, and I've done it here on the show with you one time, but I want to do an Ole Miss high-low buffalo, the high of the week, the low of the week, and then the buffaloes tell me something I don't know. And to give you an idea of what I'm talking about here, Zachary, because there's a lot of ground we could cover, you know, as we kind of, you know, wrap up this edition of Talk of Champions. My high for the week is the draft momentum that won Jackson Dart. Ole Miss high for my high-low buffalo. Yeah. Jackson Dart is building. He's at the Senior Bowl on the same roster with Riley Leonard from Notre Dame, same quarterback roster as Jalen Moreau. You're seeing Jalen Moreau get a lot of top three, as in top three picks, draft conversation just because they're
– Speaking of the Giants, it looks like they're just going to really be done again.
Again, though, it speaks to quarterback being in need at the top of the draft and and need not necessarily matching – the draft class, because this isn't a particularly strong quarterback draft class, even with some star names like Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, Jalen Moreau. And what you're seeing both with the Senior Bowl production and re-review of Jackson's tape, Todd McShay's talked about it. Charlie Weiss Sr. has talked about it. This is a player that not necessarily going to have the Jaden Daniels jump where Jaden went from mid-round projection, you know, second, third, fourth, fifth-round projection going into the year, balls out. He's a first-rounder, then becomes a top-five pick. Not necessarily saying that, but Jackson, when you watch his tape and by what you're seeing from Todd McShay, Charlie Weiss, people who do this for a living, in a class that isn't particularly strong for quarterbacks and for needy NFL teams looking for quarterbacks, Jackson Dart has made himself some money. And it goes to show you, like the Gator Bowl performance. Yes, cynical people like Ben Garrett, but like, yeah, it's an exhibition game. I want to see Austin Simmons. Well, look what it's done for Jackson Dart as far as a launching off point for his draft process. It's been such a huge – because now everybody that matters in these circles as far as evaluations are looking at him a second time with fresh eyes. And Mel Kiper's got him moved up to number three behind only Shedeur Sanders and only Cam Ward going into this Senior Bowl East-West Shrine game. And Billy Mbadi actually went to the East-West Shrine game, talked to J.J. Pegues, Caden Prescorn, Chris Poupall Jr. We'll be transcribing those interviews as well at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com. Sign up today for $1. But J.J. Pegues, he's also done the same kind of things as far as you're reassessing his tape and going, man, what a good player. he's dominating in at the East-West Shrine Bowl. And now scouts go, oh, yeah, this is a really good player, right? And
dominating people.
And Jackson Dart in a class that there are no standouts, man, you look at his tape and there's a lot to like about him. So my high for the Ole Miss week this week is Jackson Dart's draft momentum. Let's hope that he can continue that and maybe sneak his way into the first round. Maybe get in there because Matt Corral was getting some first round comps and then fell all the way to the third. I think that Jackson has a little bit more projectability potentially for the next level because for many NFL organizations and scouts, the Gator Bowl was a launching off point, and they're now reconsidering what he could be and what he is as a prospect. I think he's a lot better than people considered. What's your high for Ole Miss so far this week?
Man, honestly, I'd probably piggyback off that and just say what the Ole Miss guys at these you know, Senior Bowls and, you know, All-Star games, you know, preparing for the NFL draft have done.
Juice Wells have done well.
Juice Wells is out there carving people up, turning people around in one-on-ones. He's looking good. Poupall, I don't know who the running back was, but, I mean, oh, God, dude. Having to pass block Poupall coming right at you sucks. And it looked like it sucked because he just threw the dude back into the crowd of people waiting to go next. Dart's just been, you know, kind of front-page news, honestly. Practices start today in Mobile. I can read a quote here from Jordan Reed. He works for ESPN and covers the draft. He said, quote, "There's a lot of buzz about Dart entering the week, and he would be my QB3 if the draft was today. Can the 6'2", 225-pound Dart consistently see, read, and execute NFL-level progressions? That will be the major question that scouts want to get answered in Mobile. If so, Dart has a chance to rise into the round two discussions, but there are scouts who already have him in that range prior to the Senior Bowl. You mentioned the Gator Bowl. I mean, dude, the throw he made late in the game to Jordan Watkins, yep. rolling to his left, off platform, 45, 50-yard throw. That right there alone put him on the map. I mean, he had the dime that he threw to Daquan Wright for the touchdown. I mean, you look at stuff he put on tape. I mean, he had throws in every single game that are NFL-level throws. So, yeah, a lot of buzz about Dart. You know, it's – and this isn't a knock on him, but it's not a, you know, super deep, awesome quarterback class. There's kind of the tier ones with Cam Ward and Shadur, and then there's everybody else.
I wouldn't even say there's a tier one. I would just say that there's I mean, it kind of starts at tier two. And yeah. tier twos are being treated like tier ones because of the need at the top of the draft.
Yeah, I've seen some people liken not his game, but just kind of like how his trajectory could go. Jackson Dart to Bo Nix, where Bo Nix was just kind of like, you know, he good college quarterback, like he was solid, put up good numbers, and then he goes and he's starting with the Denver Broncos and he landed in a good spot, right? You know, Sean Payton. Really good with quarterbacks, really good with offense. I think that's obviously crucial with the NFL where, I mean, Matt Corral is a perfect example. Phenomenal talent, just landed in a just terrible spot. Matt Rhule leaves, the GM leaves, and then nobody there wants you. That just sucks. So it's got to – like Jaden Daniels is a perfect example. I mean, landing in Washington with Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury, I mean, it's just kind of a perfect match. You know, Dart's going to have some kind of luck like that, but a lot of buzz about him. So yeah, I'm gonna kind of piggyback off you and say that's my high. Just you know, Ole Miss guys are showing out, and I think a lot of people are excited to see these dudes in Mobile this week. And yeah, Trey Amos, we hadn't talked about him. Trey Amos is one that is kind of sneaking into those late first, early second discussions. And then obviously you've got the known commodities with Walter Nolan, Prince Umamiel, and Jared Ivey. I mean, there's a lot of pros on this Ole Miss team. I know that, you know, Ole Miss fans, you didn't go to the college football playoff. I get it. But this is going to be a class that is going to really put Ole Miss on the map when you turn on those Sunday night, Monday night games and dudes are, you know, Caden Priestcorn, Ole Miss, you know, Chris Poupaugh Jr., Ole Miss. When these guys are saying that on national TV, that's going to help you and your program and help with recruiting and just, you know, continuing to build the brand.
Matt Corral is starting this year for the UFL's Birmingham Barons. You got Jordan Tiamu starting for the Washington Defenders in the UFL. It's very much about where you land. Oh. Zach's absolutely right, because Matt Corral, he would have gotten time in his first rookie year as an NFL quarterback had he not gotten hurt, but he got hurt, didn't get that opportunity. Wholesale changes at the organization. Bryce Young is drafted number one overall, and suddenly there is no future for him there. So, yeah, Jackson Dart is all about where he lands, but so far so good. My low so far, if you don't have a low, it's a blessing. I would say the low for Ole Miss so far is a 3-game losing streak in basketball. And that's pretty obvious, but just get off the schneid against Texas on Wednesday night. You probably have a similar low. What is that your low? Is your low just basketball losing 3 straight?
Yeah, I would say so. Just, it was kind of the worst time for it to happen with the buzz around the program. And then look, this isn't like a PSA or, you know, me, you know, imploring it not to happen, but just having that crowd at A&M and losing, you don't want it to affect future games where fans and students are like, well, I went to the last one and they didn't win. Like you hate that.
Very Ole Miss thing to say.
I mean, just in general, right? I mean, just fans in general, where you get so hyped up and excited, and then you're let down. I mean, I know it's impossible to have over 10,000 people at every game. It's just geographically, logistically, you know, it's hard. Oxford's a very unique place like that. But, I mean, that was phenomenal. A weeknight game, late tip, and there were that many people there. Yeah, it was crazy. So, yeah, that's the low. I hope that it doesn't affect the crowds in the future. I don't think it will. I think the students kind of know what's happening at the moment, where you kind of feel like, okay, this basketball program, sure, they lost 3 in a row, but they're still good. You got one of the best coaches in the country. and everything's fine. Like you're a six seed. Like if you're an Ole Miss basketball fan and, you know, I don't know, 2011, 2012, and somebody's like, in 2025, you're going to be a projected six seed and people are going to be pissed. You would laugh. So that's kind of the low, right? You had the A&M game in hand and you just kind of doze off at the wheel and they steal it from you. Missouri was a bummer just because you didn't play well.
Trey Davis was hurt. Matt Morrell's, he seems hurt. Matt seems hurt.
I am of the opinion, I think you need to shelve Matt Morrell for at least a week. He just doesn't look the same.
He doesn't.
He still plays great defense. He's going to give you that. I mean, he's a dog. He's going to give you effort, but not the same offensive Matt Morrell. I think you need to let him rest. You'd rather him be 100% for late February, March, right? I mean, who cares if he's great in January? Just give Eduardo Klafke some minutes. You know, throw John Bowl out there a little bit. Get his feet even more wet. But yeah, I think that's the low. Obviously, just a bummer. And then look, I'll tie the women's basketball into this as well. I mean, just a unfortunate collapse in the last 4 minutes against top 10 Texas at home. Had that one won. I'll kind of take a step back here, Ben. I forgot this. Another high.
Yeah.
Those throwbacks that the women were wearing.
Loved them.
Oh.
Loved them.
Dude, put that on a shirt.
Yeah.
Put that on a hat.
Yeah, like my other high would be that Lane showed up in New Albany. ESPN, it's top 50 2025 NFL draft picks. Walter Nolan, number 26. Trey Amos is number 30. Princely Umanmielen, 31. Jackson Dart, 48. So, again, room to climb. But, yeah, if the high is Jackson Dart is doing his thing in the draft process, using the Gator Bowl as a launching point for a real climb.
Who knew? Bowl games actually matter.
They actually matter. They can actually matter.
Go figure.
It can actually happen. It can actually matter. And then finally, the Buffalo. Tell me something I don't know. A.J. Brown, because he and the Philadelphia Eagles beat the Commanders, beat them up. He scored a touchdown, advanced to the Super Bowl. He's just the seventh all-time Ole Miss Rebel to play and appear in two Super Bowls. Can he get his first Super Bowl title in a rematch of the Super Bowl from 2 years ago against the Chiefs? That is my Buffalo. A.J. Brown, the all-time Ole Miss great, has joined some pretty elite company as far as doing something that not many other Ole Miss Rebels have ever done. He's going to become the seventh to appear in two, and hopefully he can get his first one. Even though he plays for the Eagles and I'm a Cowboys fan, I don't know where I'm at with this. I don't really care if they three-peat the Chiefs. I don't really care. The Cowboys have the longest drought of appearing in an NFC Championship game, appearing in a Super Bowl, it's 30 years. So for me, I don't really care. I don't want the Eagles to necessarily win, but I want AJ to win. AJ deserves it, man. AJ, that Rebel who at Ole Miss didn't get to play in a bowl, went through hell, stayed, ended up linking up with his best friend Jalen Hurts, didn't do it when he could have left Ole Miss and gone to Alabama, did it in the pros, got to be with Jalen in Philadelphia, and now they're going back to the Super Bowl. I hope he gets one, even though it'll come at the expense of my shitty team that I've unfortunately been the fan of for so long. But that is my Buffalo, A.J. Brown. That's what I'll be watching when I have a Super Bowl party. If anybody wants to come, you're welcome to come to Ben Garrett's house in New Albany. Lane, you want to come back over? Come over here to New Albany, Super Bowl party. Going to be a lot of little girls because I have just two beautiful daughters. There they are right here. They've got their shirts from last year that say, go Taylor's boyfriend. And then I'm going to be rooting on my guy, AJ. I might go get me a number one Ole Miss jersey at Rebel Rags just to show my allegiance. I can't put on the Philadelphia green. That is sacrilegious. But I could get a number one jersey. Because you could say Laquan, Jonathan Mingo, all these other number ones have a case. I'm always going to defer to AJ. I want my guy to go get him a title. I want it. Yeah, he's the number one. He's one of one.
What did you see the picture on Twitter yesterday of, I don't know when it was from. It was obviously from a long time ago. Taylor Swift wearing an Eagle shirt.
I did.
And the tweet was like, never forget where you're from, Taylor.
But also, you know, it did. I thought the Bills, I wanted the Bills to win like everyone else did. I wanted Dawson Knox to get to the Super Bowl and face AJ Brown. I thought that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I do not believe that the NFL is rigging games for a Midwestern team to three-peat.
I did think Josh Allen got the first down.
One of the two downs on third or fourth, I do think they got the first down. However, they had the ball with a chance to go win. They had six plays.
Could have gone up eight. Yeah. Could have gone up eight. It would have been a different game. But, yeah, I wanted Josh Allen to get there. I'm a big Josh Allen fan. And we're doing high-low Buffalo. I mean, there we go. And Dawson Knox is on the team. Dawson's good people. You mentioned Super Bowl. This one's pretty crazy. In the 21st century, Tom Brady has 7.
Hmm.
Patrick Mahomes has 3. Could be 4 in a couple weeks. Peyton Manning has 2. Eli has 2. I always forget Ben Roethlisberger has 2. In the rest of the 21st century, there are 8 quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls. Can you name them?
Trent Dilfer. Because I remember watching that terrible game between the Ravens and the Giants, and Kerry Collins was leading the Giants. All right, here we go. Super Bowl winning quarterbacks not named Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, and Peyton Manning. Drew Brees. Oh, gosh.
Come on, NFL guy.
I know. I'm not good on the spot. I'm not good at trivia, but like I'm good at it when you don't put the pressure on. When you got me under the gun, it's hard. All right, hold on.
When I was doing this, I was shocked. I got 7 out of 8. There was one that I forgot. But I was surprised that I got it so quickly.
Just give them to me then.
Okay.
Wait, no, I don't want to. Okay, go.
Okay. 2001 was Trent Dilfer. You got him.
Yeah.
The one that I didn't get that I probably think a lot of people
forget. Hold on. Let me do it. No, just Kurt Warner. No, Kurt Warner didn't win. He went with the Arizona Cardinals.
So that was 2000. That's technically not the 21st century.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Who all's won Super Bowl?
So you got Drew Brees in 2010. So we got 2.
Yeah.
And there's one pretty recent.
Again, just go for it.
Georgia guy. Been in the league a long time.
Just go. Stop okay. Clowning me.
2003, Brad Johnson.
Brad Johnson, of course. Brad Johnson for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'll guarantee you I'll get every one of their teams. Go.
Internet MD himself, Aaron Rodgers in 2011.
Duh. He's only won one, only been to one. By the way, Aaron Rodgers is following the Brett Favre career track to if he doesn't go back to the Jets this year and signs with like the Vikings, just you can't write it any better than that. So again, I've got the knowledge. I'm a wimp when it comes to the pressure. I hate it.
Aaron, if you're listening, if you put on a pair of Crocs, you're gonna feel the temptation. Don't do it.
If you steal from Mississippi welfare system,
yeah,
you'll really be doing the Brett Favre career track.
2013, Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco. Flacco. Is he elite, man? Is Joe elite? That was the Harbaugh Bowl between the 49ers and the Ravens. You had Colin Kaepernick leading the Jim Harbaugh San Francisco 49ers against John and Joe Flacco.
Delaware. Blue Hen.
Terrell Suggs was on that team. Ray Lewis was on that team.
Yeah. Ed Reed.
Oh. Yeah. All right. Keep going.
2014, Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson with the those Seattle Seahawks could have had 2 and inexplicably threw the ball with Marshawn Lynch at the 1 yard line.
Very dumb.
So 2018,
Nick Foles.
Nick Foles, Big Dick Nick. Sorry, it's just what it is. You know, replaces Carson Wentz as the starter and has an iconic run. Like when you go back and look at those starting quarterbacks in that,
we bring up Brett Favre and then we're saying Big Dick Nick within a couple minutes.
Yeah, this is why I love doing this and I love football so much because look at the quarterbacks in that final 4 weekend: Case Keenum for the Vikings, Nick Foles, Blake Bortles for the Jags, and Tom Brady.
Bortles.
Tom Brady's the GOAT. All right, he is. However, Case Keenum Nick Foles and Blake Bortles, and he lost to Big Dick Nick.
It's like the meme of the clown standing in line with all the special forces guys, but like reversed, where like Tom Brady's the only non-clown.
I mean, it's Nick crazy, Foles, but like again, Nick Foles beat became him. A Philadelphia legend. The Philly special with he catches the pass on the, and then Tom Brady, they run the same play. I don't think it's the same year, but in the playoffs, and Tom didn't make the catch. So, you know, all right, I'm showing that I know him. I'm a wimp when it comes to trivia. All right, give me the last one.
The last one, 2022, Matthew Stafford.
Of course, Matthew Stafford. Of course.
Finally got it.
Traded from the Lions to the Rams. And actually, this year was a better year, I think, for Matthew Stafford than even the Super Bowl winning year. Because this year.
Yeah, they just couldn't stay healthy.
Couldn't stay healthy. I think there's a real chance that Matthew Stafford gets traded this offseason.
Oh, yeah. That'd be cool if the Titans could get him.
God, I really hope that Matthew Stafford doesn't have to spend his final years with the Titans. I mean, come on, friend.
You know, the Titans just need to bring Mariota back. Just bring the boy home.
Bring
nice
home.
Little homecoming.
Vince Young, number 10. That's the one. I thought Vince Young was no doubt going to be good in the pros. And he looked.
He was.
And he was. But like,
and then he discovered Cheesecake Factory, and the rest was history.
I thought he was going to be one of the best quarterbacks to ever play. I loved Vince Young. After that Rose Bowl with him and Reggie Bush and Matt Leiner. Oh, it's the best. It's the best college football game I've ever seen.
Then there was like a brief like 2-week period where people thought that Jake Locker was going to be the man.
Yep, he got drafted 7th overall by your Tennessee Titans. he went back to school to try to win a title with Washington and ended up falling down the draft board. He'd have been one of one if he'd came out early.
Please draft down, Titans. Please do it. I would be remiss if we didn't mention it just because you have to do it.
Travis Hunter this year. Chill. Don't draft him. They're getting Travis Hunter 1-1.
No, don't do that.
You know, here's my hot take.
I don't think Travis Hunter is going to be that good in the NFL.
I don't either. Because I think the best player.
I think he's really good.
Yes.
And that's not really like a slight. Like there are a lot of awesome dudes that just don't pan out. I just think he's limited with the size.
I'm just going to put it this way. I am of the draft belief that Abdul Carter from Penn State is the best player in this class, bar none.
You draft down and you take Abdul Carter at like,
or you just take him at 1-1. Who cares? The Grizzlies took Zach Edey at 9. You know, like just stay in draft to make sure you get the guy you want.
Hey, relax. All right. Edey's played well.
He's been awesome. I love Zach Edey. But anyway, edge rushers from the 2024 season, highest graded in Power 4, according to Pro Football Focus. Abdul Carter's 1. Ole Miss had 2 players. And number 4 is Princely Umon Mielen, 91.1 grade, 91.4 for Abdul Carter. And Jared Ivey, my guy, money year J.I., was 6th, 90.7. Jared's getting some first-round comps. Princely's getting some first-round comps. Here's what I'll throw to you as we wrap this thing up. Over, under, 2.5 Ole Miss Rebels going in the first round.
Just because the NFL is historically really dumb when it comes to the draft, I'm going to say under.
I mean,
we're talking about people that have millions of dollars and get paid millions of dollars, and they thought Anthony Richardson was really good.
Or Jamarcus Russell going 1-1. Here's my thing. If 3 go, you're matching 2016. With the most Rebels in 1 round and 1 first round was Laquan, Rob, and Laramie.
Yeah.
Do they match that? That's essentially what I'm asking. What is that face?
I just remember the Titans passed on Laramie because he smokes weed.
I was sitting in the room, in the draft room in Chicago, really upset that the Cowboys drafted Ezekiel Elliott over Jalen Ramsey.
When you have the opportunity to draft Jake Conklin over Laramie Tunsil, you got to do it.
So he slips all the way to 13. I remember when the picture emerged across all of our computers there in Chicago. It was me, Hugh Kellenberg. I can't remember who all was there, but like we all saw the image at the same time, reacting to it in real time. One of the greatest days for Ole Miss in draft history. The greatest day, completely shit on because somebody tried to sabotage Laramie, who is now one of the top 11 highest paid players in the NFL.
Highest paid left tackle in the league.
as he was always destined to be, Zach.
Negotiated his own contract. So whoever it was that tried to sabotage it, you know, you're an idiot.
How about them apples, son? How about them apples? Laramie Tunsil, the greatest true football player to ever step foot on Ole Miss's campus. I'll stand by it to this day. When the minute he walked in,
I'll have to send you some of the clips that I've gotten from I'm not going to dox them on the show, but friends that have played at Ole Miss that have sent me practice film of Laramie blocking people. It's like a line of like elementary school kids, and he's just hilarious.
The funniest thing is like when you first saw Laramie, he didn't like his lower half wasn't all that well put together. It's like he'd sacrificed leg day too much.
It was like and a basketball player.
And it didn't matter because his arms
he's so long.
And then of course the bottom half came too. He's awesome. So over under 2.5.
I'm gonna say under. I think Nolan gets in the first round.
Yes.
Princely might sneak in. Because that guy made a lot of money this year. I think he might sneak in. I'm not there with Dart yet, unless he just like goes scorched earth at the Senior Bowl, maybe. But
the NFL Combine in Indianapolis next month.
Yeah, have a good pro day. I mean, it was still a lot of time for dudes to make moves, but I'm going to stick with 2 in the first round.
I'm going over. Here's the linchpin. Does Trey Amos get in the back end of the first round? Because Walter Nolan's going in the first round, in my opinion.
I've seen a lot of mocks that have him going to Green Bay.
There it is. So if you get Trey Amos in there, if there's a little bit of a run on edges or anything like that, maybe a dual Carter goes number one, some stuff happens in the middle. It all comes down then to, will one team value Princely and or Jared there in the late end. I think, for example, the Detroit Lions getting Jared Ivey and his versatility as a defensive lineman. Yeah, that's absolutely the kind of guy that goes 31, 30, whatever they're at, 29. And yeah. That would be a great fit for him. So I'm going to say over. As long as Trey Amos does get in the back end, I think it becomes that much more realistic for Ole Miss.
Yeah. Real quick, because we mentioned him, we have to bring it up because that's the rule. When you bring up Blake Bortles, you have to remember that he practically begged Houston Nutt for an offer and Houston Nutt wouldn't do it.
Hey, did you know his brother played baseball at Ole Miss?
Oh, shit. Are you serious? Yeah, you could have had Blake Bortles.
Colby Bortles, baby. Ole Miss got Colby. And
shout out to Good Place.
Yeah. It's been Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett. He's Zach Barry. We both write for the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com.
Covered a lot of ground today.
A lot of ground. It was fun. The Ole Miss Spirit on 3, omspirit.com. Ole Miss stuff all day, every day. This is all we do. So sign up today, your first week for $1. Riverland Roofing, the little house up top, riverlandroofing.com for all your roofing needs. It's Riverland Roofing. Few, if any, are doing more for Ole Miss in the name, image, and likeness space, NIL. So give them some love. Rebels helping Rebels, 662-644-4297. That's Riverland Roofing. Zachary.
Speaking of Rebels helping Rebels, baseball season's almost here. Remember to go to LB's Meat Market on University across from Kroger. Go see Greg. Get ready. You got to get that grill going out there in left field, right field, wherever you are. Go get the best meat in town at LB's, baby.
And next time anybody wants to drop into my hometown and the place where I live, you know, like Lane did last night, let me know, man. I'll show you how to do New Albany, right? We'll go to Nico's, go hang out with my peoples, get a strawberry biscuit from George's, or, you know.
I was going to say, you got to go. Got to go to George's.
Yes. Yeah, and Jake Sarachek, who did the documentary, you know, he's not in town anymore. Jake finally got a George's burger and had the audacity to tell me that I kind of oversold it. I almost ended his life right then and there. Chicken George's don't get any better.
He's from a large metropolitan area, melting pot, if you will. He's probably had some good burgers up there,
but he hadn't had a Chicken George's from New Albany, Mississippi burger. All right. With a biscuit with strawberries on it, you know. It was really cool to see Lane show up and see Emmanuel Tucker. And Emmanuel Tucker is the first highly recruited kid to come out of New Albany in a while. And it's really exciting to see him get that kind of attention. And for Lane to show up at the middle school on a practice night shows you they're taking it seriously. This has been Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett. He's Zach Barry. We'll see you later this week, maybe tomorrow, maybe on Thursday. Shows every single day. Billy and Body's show from the East-West Shrine Bowl is in the Talk of Champions podcast feed. Check that out as well. Thank you, Zachary. I'll see you soon.
All right, buddy.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.